Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 6. We'll go on and look at this question of the astral body and its primacy in Grade 4. So as I said, the spiritual world's intention, the progressive forces of the spiritual world, was for the human being to be a very, very slow learner, very slow developer. And only in time, over the passage of long periods of time, would human beings mature to the extent that they could incorporate the astral body at an earlier age. But this would go on under the very direct supervision of higher spiritual beings in great wisdom. And with this, then, the human being would, we might say, automatically be on his way, our way, to joining the hierarchies. You know, we would be able to deal with the exigencies of life in the mineral world, which hierarchical beings cannot do and would not do. We would do that, but we would have a lot of help. However, last year, you actually told the children why things have turned out quite differently. And this is the fall of man and woman, the incursion, the invasion, the intervention of luciferic forces into human evolution. So, because of a kind of treaty, an agreement reached in the spiritual world between Lucifer, Ahriman, and the higher beings, it was determined that Lucifer would be allowed to become a powerful force, in certain respects, the leader of earthly life for the first half of Earth evolution. And for him to do this, he needed to come in on the wings of the astral body, so that the astral body would be incorporated by the human being much earlier than was originally intended. How early? Well, we're talking about 21, 25 years too early. That's a lot. So that we could say that to this day, the way in which the human being was created, molded, hardwired, if we want to put it that way, was in no way ready to accept the powerful forces of the astral body at so young an age. Indeed, it still is not, and to some degree it never will be. This is always going to be a bump in the road. This is always going to be a shock, because it is, again, like giving a 10-year-old $1 million and saying, spend it wisely. Here it is. You'd never do that, except maybe on television, and then it becomes very funny. But here we are doing that. In fact, much more than $1 million. The astral body is priceless, and its powers are great. And so, fourth grade becomes a crash course for the child in how to deal with an astral body. And this crash course is so exhausting in the end, it takes so much out of them, that in fifth grade they just need a nice long rest. Not sleep by any means, but they revert to a more dreamy sensibility. And they're given a very different picture of the world than what they get in the Norse myths. And we might say that the Norse myths, the gods of the Icelandic people, that they more than any other group experienced this premature incursion of the astral body with tremendous power and poignancy. And these myths are priceless in that respect, that they really give the child a picture of what he or she is dealing with and how easy it is to go off course. In fact, how inevitable it is that one will go off course. We've already seen this, of course, in the Old Testament stories, and there I point to Joseph as being the prototype of the human being who is given the astral body, which is shown as the image of the coat of many colors that his father gave him. It's like we're taking Noah's rainbow and bringing it back, bringing it down to earth, bringing it right to the skin of a human being. But there is always the presence of Yahweh. There are always these strong etheric forces which keep drawing the Israelites back to the path, to the straight and narrow. It's all done through the bloodline. It's all done through heredity. That's the way you keep people on course. But in the Norse myths, it's a completely different picture, and we will see how this pans out. So I would say, again, as I always say, these stories are incredibly important, and penetrate them, read different versions, try to picture them in your mind's eye, and try to see for yourself. I'll give you, you know, some sorts of formulas about what's going on here and what this or that represents, but make it your own. You know, don't just accept what I'm going to bring to you, but really live with it yourself in the dynamic of your own being. You know, which of these gods is working here on me and with me at this point in the dynamic of my inner being? So we are, this year, we have to be a model for the children in how one, as an adult, works with one's astral body. And we also have to be there very awake, very astute about how the astral body is working on the children themselves. And we have to be aware, of course, that etheric forces become very individualized. They're very connected, the etheric body, with our physical body, with our destiny, with how we are going to be formed to meet the world. The astral body is a social body. In fact, it is the nature of sociability itself. We would not be social beings if we didn't have that astral body. We would be dreamers. We'd all be living in our own beautiful, wonderful, etheric worlds, but not really meeting one another. So this is the year in which the social life of the class becomes a central concern of the teacher. And it's not just, you know, wiping tears from a child's eye who was kicked by somebody, or, you know, they tore down our lean-to and we worked so hard on it, or the boys are all saying this or that. It's not going to be that simple anymore. Now, because also you have that slight degree of individuation, you have the growth of the personality in the child. So you're dealing with many more layers of consciousness here, and with them all interacting. The etheric body, we could say, when it is most deeply incorporated, and that's happening this year, by the middle of fifth grade, the etheric body reaches its deepest level of incorporation in our entire life. And after that, it slowly, slowly starts to excarnate for the rest of our life. But the incorporation of that etheric body is 90-95% of our etheric body fills up our physical body. It's really in there solidly. The astral body, even at its fullest degree of incorporation, which is in our early 20s, in our sentient soul period of life, it's never more than 50%. The other 50% is outside us, our own astral body. It's outside us in our social circles, in the other human beings with whom we come in contact. Very different for a child who grows up in Viroqua, Wisconsin, than a child who grows up in New York City. You really here experience the folk soul, as Steiner calls it, the souls of those around you. Greater numbers, smaller numbers, whatever. City people, country people, this is very important. But once again, this is coming too soon, too fast, and we have to help the child deal with being a social being 20, 25 years sooner than they are built to become a social being. They're not ready. They're not mature enough. The physical and etheric forces are not developed enough to be able to deal with this. And so one gets these ups and downs and back and forth. You know, a child who one moment is talking like she's 25, another moment like she's 4. We saw this to some degree in the 9-year change, but in fourth grade, especially the forces streaming from the future, from the astral world of the future, these become that much more powerful. And we're going to see the children chomping at the bit. This is an age where those children, particularly those girls who have older siblings, particularly older sisters, are going to start to bring all kinds of teenage stuff into the classroom. You may very well see a child trying out makeup or something like that. This summer, I can assure you, in the 14-day period that you are online with this conference, one or two or three of the children in your class have started to play video games. Maybe it was in an arcade in the beach town where they're spending the summer, and their parents on a rainy day were beside themselves not knowing what to do with the children, so off they go to the arcade, and there the world of the video game opens. Or it might be that an older sister or brother introduces a girl to social networking, and they get to see what Facebook looks like and how that works and think about whether they and their friends might engage in that. I can tell you that as of January, February of grade 4, you might as well raise the white flag of surrender in your war on media. I'm going to talk about that more in the next lecture. But let's not fool ourselves. By fourth grade, especially video games with boys, becomes quite rampant. In the next year or two, the social media with girls becomes no less powerful. And these again, are things, whatever they are in and of themselves and whatever they may be contributing to our society, and I think they're not all bad by any means. However, they're not meant for 10-year-olds. They're not meant for fourth graders. But neither is incorporating an astral body meant for that age either. So there it is. It all comes together as a package. And you have to be ready for this. The solution that many teachers find for these problems is in a certain way to deny them, to put their head in the sand and ignore the fact that boys in their class are obviously playing video games, or that the parents of a child who are trying to really hold the line and go along with the school's media policy are complaining. There are five girls in this class who are, you know, doing social media stuff, and they're insulting my daughter. And it's just not wanting to acknowledge it, because it means that the promises parents made to us, the policies to which we ascribe that maybe have even gotten our school on television, that we're so strongly against the media, at least computers, you know, that all of this starts to ring a little bit false. It's hard for fourth grade teachers to recognize how quickly all of this stuff starts to fall apart. It's especially hard when the boy who is most engaged in video games happens to be the son of a colleague in the school. That the girl who's the kind of queen of social media in the class is the daughter of the president of the board or a major donor or whatever. Things are rarely simple in Waldorf schools. And there again, this is how the astral world works. It creates all of these complexities and difficulties. So let's look a little bit at these particular social issues in grade four. And this will segue in time to our work with the parents, which, as I said earlier, is more important than ever.